People can go to our website, freepalestine.video, and donate on the donor box on the front page there, or they can subscribe on Patreon and Substack, where we are have still the ability to be monetized. So, you know, look, the Western social media platforms have lost any freedom of speech, and we can see how that's, you know, playing out in terms of what happened with TikTok and Red Note, this new app that is allowing people that freedom of speech. And you know, as working on Palestine, it's always been a hard thing to do. And we see, of course, what happened to Ali Abu Nami and other journalists that are being harassed and arrested and so on in the West. I presume myself that if I go back to Canada, that I will be nabbed and somehow harassed and maybe jailed or charged by something. This is why I personally have no interest in entering any shitty Western countries again, even the one that I carry its citizenship, Canada, until the Zionist colony is non-existing.
Yeah, that's a dark prediction, and not just for people in your position, but people like me that are here in Canada right now and that wait for a boot on the door. Thanks a lot, Laith, for coming on the show. Again, you can support what Laith is doing, freepalestine.video. And I want everyone to stick around because I'll be joined in the second half by David Rovics. We're going to talk, as I said, about his trouble with YouTube and the other platforms, amongst other things.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people. Whose bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.
Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire.
Lots of folks are revolting. They've had enough of this shit. The rich are getting richer. They're saying that's it. But with Luke, it's different. That's clear as he emerges from the fog. Let's hear it for Lucanicos, the riot dog. It's a fight between people. Is no pawn. He knows exactly which side he's on. In the machine of capital, he is no cock. Let's hear it for Lucanicos, the riot dog.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, it's not just foreign media being disappeared from Western discourse. Those here at home opposing perpetual war, capitalist corruption, and authoritarianism are well used to being absented from corporate presses, but they're now being erased too from the social sphere. But there's a difference between being unable to breach legacy media gatekeeping to get one's squeaks on their platform and the insidious tactics deployed by the likes of YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Twitter X. David Rovics knows more than most the heavy, sometimes arbitrary hand of the censor, and he's all too familiar with the invidious sting of the cancel crowd. Both have conspired to wreck his increasingly social media dependent musical career and stifle his persistently pointed criticism of their noisome activities. The demonetized, deleted, but not disappeared David Rovics joins me now. Welcome back to the program, David.
Great to be back with you, Chris.
Well, David, we spoke about 7 weeks ago about your Spotify problems. Now YouTube has piled on. You write about that in your latest article, or recent article at least, demonetizing, deleting, and disappearing. David, what the F is happening here, man?
Yeah, that's the latest. I mean, it's just a constant stream of such activities pretty much since like for a year over. I guess so. Just about a year now is when it really stepped up, we got around February last year. But depending on which, like as you mentioned, there's I'm being targeted clearly by three different kind of campaigns. Two of them really active, and one is the Zionists who are clearly behind a lot of the stuff that's going on various platforms and in the real world. And then there's the Antifa crowd from a certain really sectarian sector of Antifa here in Portland, maybe like just one or two people, but whoever it is, these anonymous Antifa-oriented people are trying to destroy my career as well. And they don't seem to realize or believe or maybe they just, I don't know, who knows, but I have no idea if they really understand that they're going after the same target that the Zionists are going after. It's kind of really strange. The trolls, hearing from the Antifa trolls who are denouncing me for being a fascist without seeming to realize that the Zionists are also denouncing me for being a fascist. Maybe they're Zionists, Antifa.
I always think of COINTELPRO and thinking that whenever you get into any of these groups, and if they become at all effective, they get infiltrated. And then there's people inside, trying to turn the group against each other or make them do stupid things that make them, violent things that get them arrested, or stupid things that discredit the organization in the eyes of a broader public that you'd like to, that everybody's trying to reach to bring into your position, regardless of what it is. So, it's difficult to know, especially when it comes to the Wobblies. And we'll talk about your article about, us people of certain vintage will recognize this title, but will the real Wobbly please stand up? But before that, though, now you're in your piece now about what's going on with specifically at
YouTube. So they demonetized the account. That's what
they've been canceling people for, like, I've had an account up at YouTube, for example, for ages, years, but I've never used it because they, way back when, they started jerking people around and kicking them off and doing this and that, and I thought, well, the kind of work I do, and it was politically motivated, what's the point of investing in that platform just to get your chain yanked and get pulled off? So I never really bothered going into it, but they've changed. They've become much more subtle, YouTube has, in the way that it pulls a chain of people like yourself. Can you explain, David, the difference between demonetization and being just straight up kicked off?
Yeah, and also I think it's really important what you mentioned as far as the subtlety aspect, because really we talk a lot, in the world, in the media, in social media, all over the place, people talk a lot about things like censorship and demonetization and accounts getting pulled altogether. And that's all really, really worrying stuff. But the by far more worrying stuff is the algorithmic control and how the algorithmic throttling, or, what gets promoted with their algorithms and what gets stifled. And that's been very noticeable because I've been on YouTube ever since YouTube existed. And that's been, that's the case with me and all these platforms, because I'm old and the platforms aren't. And I've been at this for a lot longer than the internet has existed.
I remember Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah, I do. But so YouTube has the, as far as like what they've done here, they have the option of close your account altogether, as they did with like everybody, like Chris Hedges and all the people who had stuff on RT. They were all declared Russian agents for, interviewing people about their latest novel. And now, their material was all just completely yanked off of YouTube. And in my case, I've had entire channels full of my material disappeared off of YouTube. But I believe that was actually hackers that hacked into the accounts and then deleted everything. But in the case of my own YouTube channel, what they've done is it demonetized it rather than take it off entirely. Although people tell me that's often the next step after they demonetize permanently. First they temporarily demonetize account, then they permanently demonetize an account. Then the next step is taking the account off of YouTube altogether. So I'm at that permanent demonetization step. I don't know what's
and people should understand, though, too, that the demonetization isn't complete, in the sense that YouTube still makes money off of all of your material that, or any artist's material that's up there. It's only you that gets demonetized, not YouTube.
That's right. They just arbitrarily decide that they're the, I guess, you know, we, you know, who knows if it was something I signed in the many pages of fine print when you sign onto these platforms, but they can arbitrarily decide to just take you off or demonetize you. And, you know, you have no apparent, you know, legal rights in the matter, as far as, like, it's not like with royalties from radio play, it seems like, which is, I think, you know, all set in stone legally and stuff, as far as how much people get for, you know, when you play an artist on a radio station, it's like 1 cent or 2 cents, or, you know, if it's some bigger entity like national radio, it's a lot more than that. But typically with like community radio or something, you know, I'll get a penny every time somebody plays one of my songs, and I get, at the end of every quarter, I get a check
for $6.13 or something like this. Exactly. Yeah, I had a friend
with like seven pages of like all the different stations where I've gotten one play, you know, and made 1 cent, you know, and they probably lose money.
I had a friend who worked in that was his job. Like, he worked for the union or whatever, and he had that job of compiling that and then sending the $2.40 checks to here, there, and everywhere. And Spotify runs on a model similar to that, but the amount that you get credited for every play is so minuscule, and you and I have talked about that before, the way that Spotify rakes in billions literally, and all but the very, very creme de la creme artists really make enough money to make a living from.
Yeah, very far fewer than the top 1% could be possibly making any kind of a living on Spotify.
But Spotify is not immune from the political interference, too, as we talked about the last time, where they take it upon themselves to go into your account and disappear certain songs or maybe entire albums, as happened in your case. Both of those things happened in your case. Do you want to reiterate what the Spotify method and just what they found so offensive? Because I imagine there's some crossover between what Spotify finds offensive and what YouTube finds offensive and what Twitter X finds offensive. I wonder if they don't have a liaison office that calls up the other and says, oh yeah, and about this guy, you know. But anyway, what did you say that got you in such trouble with Spotify?
Well, on Twitter, I haven't had any problems, although lots of other people do. But on Spotify, They just, without no notification or explanation, they just deleted what was my most popular album release of 2024, the first album I put out, which was called Notes from a Holocaust, all about Gaza. And they removed the entire album. And then, I think since the last time I talked to you, I put the album back up with a changed title and in a changed cover. So it's now called Notes from a parentheses bad thing. And you know,
a very bad thing.
I was just operating under the assumption that the word Holocaust was why they removed the whole album, because what it also seemed like was that it was, but you know, the other thing, just doing sort of random, you know, research, just looking myself up on Spotify and see what comes up. But what Kamala, my singing partner, found looking me up, because she was doing the same thing. She found that Song for the Houthi Army was on one sort of shadow version of the album on Spotify. All the tracks were listed except for a Song for the Houthi Army, which was not even listed as a title. It was just like entirely redacted. And with YouTube, it was, I posted when the US and the UK started bombing Yemen, and without any kind of declaration of war. There's still been no declaration of war, but the US and the UK are actively at war with the de facto governing, you know, government of Yemen, the Houthis, Ansar Allah. And when the war with Yemen began in earnest, I posted a press release from the Yemeni government in de facto Yemeni government on my YouTube channel. And it was over a year later that was apparently flagged as, you know, posting something from a proscribed organization, which YouTube informed me then was not allowed. And so they took down the press release I had posted, but they also said, now you have to go through this training. And if you go through the training, then we'll re-monetize your channel. That was what they said, that you're being demonetized temporarily because you've done a bad thing and posted this Houthi press release. And now you'll be re-monetized after you take this training. So I took this little training, and I was told, that I passed the training. But then a few days later, I got another message saying that now your account was permanently demonetized.
Yeah. Well, and, there's talk about future crime, and we see science fiction movies about that. But also, as regards these guys, there's past crimes where some entity that hasn't been when you publish your article or you put up the song or whatever it is, that group is not on the S list. But years later is, and then the people that are then punished, retroactively for breaking a law that didn't exist when they committed that infraction, in scare quotes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure when the Houthi army was declared to be a terrorist organization, and by which country, because it depends on the country, right? But I mean, YouTube and Spotify operate globally, and they can put restrictions on in certain countries and stuff. But my impression is that they're getting directives from various governments, who knows which ones, but they, but it seems obviously from the US and the UK at least. And then if there's a song or an album that's violating one of those countries' laws, they just take it down. They don't just take it down in the UK or the US, they take it down everywhere.
Well, have you written any songs critical of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, the once terrorist, but now totally cool and normal guys governing Syria? I mean, if you had said something nasty about them years ago, I wonder if you would get the same treatment today, as now they're seen in a different light by the powers that be.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's all totally opaque. I mean, it really. I mean, I understand that you mean to be humorous here, but really, who knows? You know, I mean, we just have no idea. It's all. I mean, even of course, with Trump, it's all completely arbitrary and unknown. But even certainly before Trump, it was also completely basically arbitrary and unknown how you. I mean, look at what happened to the Holy Land Five. I mean, these. You know, one of whom was finally released from prison after serving his full 15-year term, but others are in prison for up to 65 years, and it's all just for trying to funnel money for food and healthcare and basic needs of Palestinians, but doing it through the wrong channels, and the channels that they were trying to funnel money through were channels that had been used only just years earlier by the U.S. State Department. But then these channels were declared, terrorist channels now. And then suddenly, if you're getting money to Palestinians through these banks, now they're Hamas banks, and now you're a terrorist and should go to prison for 65 years for trying to feed people. I mean, this is how arbitrary it is. So, what's happened to me is a comparatively, not much. But, I'm really curious what's going to happen next time I go to England. I mean, I know we talked about this last time, but like, I really don't know, because I mean, the song for the Houthi army clearly violates Section 12 of the UK Terrorism Act of 2000. And, as you probably heard, I'm sure you heard that, what happened to Ali Abu Nima in Switzerland, but this is these brutal arrests of people for speaking out against genocide are happening in England regularly, and they're because they're in violation of Section 12 of the 2000 Terrorist Act, which says if you praise a proscribed organization, if you say something good about people that are resisting a genocidal onslaught, if you dare call anybody heroic for doing such a thing, you're subject to a possible 14-year prison sentence in the UK.
Well, and the term praise is pretty ambiguous too. It might be that you just fail to condemn, and then in that sense, now we're really getting into it. Abu Nima is free. right now. He was held for a couple of days at least, and he's the principal, for those that don't know, of the Electronic Intifada, which is an excellent resource, especially on the Palestinian crisis, being a crisis, the genocide come Holocaust, crisis. You know. But yeah, the permanent genocide. But that's probably your best source there. I'm surprised it actually took this long. I'm surprised too that Switzerland went along with it, but they surrendered their neutrality quite a while ago. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with David Rovics, and we're speaking about his recent problems and not so recent problems with some of the social media platforms. He's known more than most, and he's been attacked by the cancel crowd. We've talked about this as well, David, but before I go into that, when you talked about your latest album being monkeyed with by Spotify, you've been so prolific over this period, this year and a few months now, from October 7th, from this latest assailing of Palestine, that you've also got a new album. And I wonder what the fate of that is. It's called From the Ashes. You presumably, David, have put it up on Spotify. Is there any indication that From the Ashes is going to get the same treatment as Songs from the Holocaust, or songs about the really bad thing, or I forgot your new title already.
Notes from a Bad Thing. So that was the first of album in 24, and this now, I put out four albums in 2024, and this is the first one of 25, and it's not yet on Spotify. It's up on Bandcamp now, and it'll be up on Spotify in the next few days, probably, and all the other streaming platforms. But they're not taking anything down. But what is happening, which is very strange, is to all the albums from the past year or so, is some tracks appear to not have ever been played, and other tracks appear to have been played a lot, or you know, hundreds or thousands of times. So it seems really random which tracks are not getting played at all, and which tracks are getting played a lot, and that is not the case with any of the older albums. If you look at your, you know, because as an artist, maybe even just as a Spotify user, you can see all this stuff, like which songs have been played, how many times, and at least as the artist, you can see where they're playing, the gender and demographics and age and country, and you know, all this kind of information about who, you know. Not the information you really want, like their email address. You know, you can't put them on your email list or something like that. But you know, information that's, you know, tantalizingly, you basically useless. But you know, if you ever wondered if your crowd was really as male as it appears to be, you know, that Spotify can confirm that yes, your audience
I'm
is
huge,
you know,
overwhelmingly
male. You know, if you have fans in some country you've never been to and you didn't know you had fans there, then it's always nice to see that. You know, everything is getting listened to it by at least one person in Russia and three in China, and who knows? They're probably all working for the government.
Is there a pattern? Is there a discernible pattern to the songs that are getting like zeroed out? Are they specifically political? Do they have problematic titles?
They're always about Palestine, and they're all from the past year. So yeah, but otherwise it's happening to so many songs that it's hard to otherwise say, you know, what if there's a particular pattern. It just seems to be some kind of hypercritical thing going on with what songs are they're allowing to enter into the stream, whatever. But you know, the more disturbing thing is that then I was telling people online, you know, in posts about some of these songs not getting played, so that, you know, a lot of people were going and playing them. So I know they've been played. You know, they're just still, you know, some songs just get registered with zero plays. And then another thing that happened is the new album, Notes from a Bad Thing, it was getting at first sort of, it appeared that very few people had heard it. And then suddenly now it looks like lots of people have heard it. And I think what happened was somebody at Spotify figured out that it was Notes from a Holocaust with a different title. And so all the plays that Notes from a Holocaust had gotten are now being, you know, sort of registered with this new album, you know, but I've never been notified about any of these things. So who knows, like, I have no idea, you know, if I'm getting paid for that album or for, you know, it's all totally opaque. All these platforms.
Well, is it machines? Are there people behind this, do you think? Or is this just algorithmic or AI machines doing this censoring?
I mean, it could be either, right? It could be either when it's just guesswork. I mean, we don't know. They're totally opaque. Like, they don't tell you what their algorithms are about or who makes decisions or anything. So it's entirely possible that, you know, there was an automated thing where they swept all the platform for any Houthi press releases anybody might have posted. Or what I think is probably more likely is some, you know, activist Zionists from either the UK or Israel or the US are going around, you know, looking at YouTube channels of artists that they don't like and finding reasons to complain about them.
Well, you mentioned Chris Hedges at YouTube when he lost his entire archive. It was, you know, I don't know how many shows, hundreds of interviews.
Yeah.
You're protecting yourself in case of that eventuality. You have your material somewhere else, presumably.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing on any of those platforms that I don't have, you know, backed up as far as the stuff I've put up. But what has been lost in the past that's never going to be presumably, you know, never will be found is like when Todd Boyles, a friend of mine, a videographer from Eugene, when his YouTube channel got hacked by whoever and they deleted all of his YouTube videos of me, you know, those videos, I mean, not only did some of them have, you know, many hundreds of thousands of views, but many of them had many thousands of comments. I mean, wonderful comments from people from all over the world, and you know, for that went on for years. And you know, that can never be, you know, we'll never get that back, I'm sure. That kind of history.
Memory hold. Yeah, yeah. It's so tediously iterated his works. But David, we're fast running out of time. You're going on tour. Can you give us the information how people find it? Because you've got so much stuff on so many different platforms. We're not even going to get to the Wobbly article that I did want to mention, because that goes into another kind of censorship, the cancel crowd, and how the IWW, the Wobblies, I would say have been infiltrated for a long time, but how that infiltration has evolved and affected the whole organization. We'll save that for another time. How do people find your stuff? And what about
DavidRovics.com? Yeah, DavidRovics.com. I'll just search for my name I have a tour, a couple of gigs in Oregon coming up, and then I'll be playing in Mexico City near Mexico City for St. Patrick's Day. The San Patricio Distilleria, and then Southern California, England, Scotland, and then Australia in July.
Wow, that's great. Well, and I played not something from your new album during the Between You and Leif Maruf in the first segment, but because in honor of the rioting, the uprising, I should more properly say, going on in Greece right now against against further, really, the austerity measures that never ended, I think, is what it's all about. But your great song, Riot Dog, and Luke the Riot Dog, one of my favorites.
Great.
We were wondering, where is Luke today? Probably in the old dog home. But
thanks a lot. You know, Luke died. He died.
Well, let's not end it on a dog dying, okay? I mean,
there will be more Riot Dogs. The world will have more Riot Dogs, and there are more. Well, there are more.
Let's
post Luke. Chile has
on the other side. Well, thanks a lot again, David. Thanks to Leif Maruf. That's all I've got for this week, for this time. Until the next time, thanks again, David, and good luck on the new tour. Right?
Thank you, Chris.
When a smoke bomb comes towards him, he kicks it back at the fuzz. Let's hear it for Luke.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York. Guerrilla Radio is everywhere. Online at guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.